Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's a great honor to be here with you and share the word of God with you today. And Layli is helping for the first time today with the Farsi translation, which is awesome. My name is Pedro, I'm one of the assistant curators here. And as you've been following since last week, we are looking at John 15, where Jesus introduces himself as the true vine before he gets arrested and crucified. We learned last week from Ben, which was the message from the first part of this chapter, verses 1 to 8, that Jesus himself is the true vine. Unlike the unfaithful Israel, he is the faithful vine. And we learn that the Father is the gardener, and he prunes us as the branches of the true vine. Jesus' invitation and his command for all Christians, for you and me, is to remain in him as the true vine, to abide in him. And when we remain in close friendship with him, we will be fruitful. Now we are going to look at the second part of Jesus' teaching in this chapter, verses 9 to 17. You can follow on your phone or your Bible next to you, where Jesus commanded his disciples to abide in his love, to abide in Jesus' love. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your living word today, open the eyes of our hearts to see your love more and more, and open our ears to listen to your voice eagerly. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the human needs in life, in addition to shelter, clothes, food, and etc., has always been need for being loved. There is a famous saying that goes, the greatest thing you will ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. Whoever we are, being loved is a pretty big deal, and it can make us feel all sorts of ways. You know that warm feeling you get when someone cares about you? That's the good stuff right there. It's like having a special connection with someone that just makes you feel awesome, that cares about you. When you know someone cares about you, you feel like you've got a safe place to fall back on no matter what. When someone loves you, they see the real you, and that can give you a boost of confidence to be yourself, no mask needed. When we are loved for who we are, it gives us a sense of belonging and acceptance. The late Tim Keller once said, "To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, it is what we need more than anything." But what happens when you and me don't feel love in our lives? Last year, I rode on a monster roller coaster at Movie World in Gold Coast, supposedly the biggest one in the Southern Hemisphere. I figured this out after the ride. During the ride, I'm pretty sure I broke the world record for the number of "oh my gosh" shouted in 1 minute. my scream reached to the octaves that just dogs could hear. It was bad. And I experienced different things, different emotions during the ride, including regrets. So, but I won't try it again. But anyway. Yeah, that was bad. But let me tell you about another story of a roller coaster. A ride of living as a refugee in Turkey. I lived as a refugee in Turkey for 6 years, which was a journey that had me facing all kinds of different feelings and challenges, even more than the riding on a roller coaster in Gold Coast. Being in a whole new country, adapting to a new culture, a different culture and language, and just trying to make a place for yourself is a big challenge, isn't it? But on top of that, I found this constant feeling of not being loved or truly belonging or feeling of rejection. It's a common kind of feeling for refugees and a big challenge that most of refugees have dealt with. Imagine waking up every day and not having that warmth of love and acceptance you used to feel back home. Back there, you had your family, your friends, people who know you inside and out and cared about you. But here, it's like you're a puzzle piece that doesn't quite fit into the picture. Being loved is not just a romantic feeling. It's about that sense of being valued, respected, and acknowledged for who you are. When you don't have that, you start questioning yourself. You start questioning your identity. You start questioning your worth and whether you really matter to anyone in this new place. It feels like you're knocking on doors that just won't open. The feeling of not being wanted, not being loved. It's like a heavy weight on a refugee's heart. But here in verse 9, Jesus said this: "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." Jesus loves us. He has shown us love. But what does that mean? If we think about our lives, when someone says they love something or someone, there's actually a few different things they might mean. For example, the first type of love is a conditional love, which starts with an if clause. It's like that if-then deal. For instance, if you treat me nicely and show me respect, then I will show you some love in return. It's like there is a transaction happening. You scratch my back, I will scratch yours. It's all cool until someone's back gets a little bit itchy and things start going out of control. I wonder if you have experienced that kind of love before. There is the second type of love, which starts with because. Because you've been all lovely and loving towards me, I'm gonna hit you with some love too. This one is a bit better than the first one. But it's like a chain reaction of affection. You have given, I give it back. But what if that the change breaks? What if the change breaks? Have you experienced this kind of love? Is this the kind of love that Jesus is talking about? But the third kind of love is unconditional love. This one starts with even though, like even though you might not have shown me love, I'm gonna give it to you anyway. Even though you don't love me, I give love to you. It's like pouring out love without expecting anything in return. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. The concept of unconditional and everlasting love within the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, is truly profound and reflects a divine bond that goes beyond our understanding. At the heart of this divine relationship is an eternal love that knows no bounds. The Father's love for the Son and the Son's love for the Father, in perfect unity with the Holy Spirit, forms an unbreakable circle of love. The Father, the source of all existence, loves the Son unconditionally. Just as the Son's submission to the Father is a testament to their relationship. This concept of love within the Trinity serves as a model of love for you and I, as Christian, as children of God, an example of how love can be selfless, how love can be pure and enduring. But what did we do to deserve God's love? Well, we know the answer. Nothing. Nothing we did to deserve that. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, while we were against God, while we were walking in our own ways, he loved us. He not only showed his love to us on the cross, but this love is flowing in our daily lives every day. Every day. When we feel unloved, that I'm sure that many of us have felt that before. When we feel unloved, it's a time to ponder the cross where God shows his love to us. His unfailing love. We sang the song, the first song that we sang today. Unfailing love. Unbreakable love. Unconditional love. Despite all the ups and downs in a refugee life, despite the roller coaster of emotions that they feel every single day, despite the lack of hope in their lives, I've seen that many of them find their hope in Jesus. For people who feel unlovable, they find this incredible source of love, incredible source of hope and acceptance, and true feeling of being loved through none other than Jesus Christ himself. Unconditional love is powerful. It's powerful. In verse 9, Jesus invites us to remain in his love. We might wonder how. Now that God has shown me his love and sacrificed his beloved son for my sins, how can I remain in Jesus' love? Well, we might ask, what does Jesus mean by saying that? Well, Jesus answers this question in verse 10. He says, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love." Keeping Jesus' commands is the golden key to abide in his love. As he kept the Father's command and remained in his love, Jesus eagerly and wholeheartedly embraced the Father's command, even to the point of accepting death on the cross. He willingly chose to uphold the Father's plan, bridging the gap between sinful humanity and the Holy God. Keeping Jesus' command is not about following rules and ticking the boxes. Not at all. But it's about understanding that when we align ourselves with Jesus' teaching, we're actually tapping into a source of true joy. Obeying Jesus' command is not a burden on our shoulders. It's a joyful way to stay connected to the source of love. I was born in Iran and grew up in a Muslim family. When I was following Islamic teaching at school, in every day of my life, there was this constant pressure to keep up with all the commands, to avoid God's punishment. It's like living under this cloud of doubt and insecurity every day. Always wondering if I'm doing enough to avoid any negative consequences from God. It's a feeling of walking on eggshells, and it's like you're in a test and you're not sure if you'll pass or fail. You're not sure if you're doing enough to be loved by God and satisfy Him or not. But when I heard about Jesus, I learned that Jesus loved me first, even before I could do anything to earn His love. That feeling of security in His love was unlike anything I'd experienced before. Instead of living in fear of punishment, it was like I was wrapped in a blanket of acceptance and grace. His love wasn't conditional on my actions. It was just there. Jesus' love was there for me. Keeping Jesus' commands is not about following rules to earn love. It's about reflecting the love we've received from Jesus. That's why He starts saying, "I have loved you," before inviting us to abide in Him or keeping His commands. Then in verse 11, which I believe is the heart of this section, Jesus paints the beautiful pictures of result of abiding in His love and keeping His commandments. He says, "I have told you this. I have told you all these things that we've been through, all these verses that we read through these 2 weeks. I have told you this so that My joy, Jesus' joy, be in you and that your joy be complete." This enduring outcome has the power to transform anyone's life as it transformed my own life. It's not just a passing moment of a superficial happiness. It's a lasting change that can change our lives. There are some happy moments in our lives that we all experience. Those moments of happiness that come and go. Like getting a new gadget, buying a new car, achieving a goal, winning a competition, or having a good time with your friends on a roller coaster in Gold Coast. So these are happy times. But no doubt that these things can fade easily, or they can change, or they can leave us wanting more. But the joy we find in Jesus is like this deep-rooted, everlasting thing. He's not talking about a happy time that this world can give us, which can be shaken by our circumstances or the ups and downs of life. He's talking about a constant present, an unexplainable joyfulness that comes from knowing we are loved. You are loved by the Creator of the universe. It's like having this unbreakable source of joy and love that's not dependent on what's happening around us. There is an Iranian Christian I had the privilege to talk to recently on Zoom who has been living as a refugee in Turkey for 11 years, facing all kinds of challenges and even the threat of being deported back to Iran. But despite all the hardship, this brother was full of joy like you wouldn't believe. He was the one from the other side encouraging me. He was the one living in challenges, keeping his hope in Jesus and encouraging me. Just think about it for a second. 11 years of your life. 11 years of uncertainty. of not knowing what tomorrow might bring, of facing the constant worry of being sent back to the place that's not exactly welcoming your faith. That's a whole lot to deal, isn't it? But you know what he told me? He told me that his joy, his real joy, comes from Jesus, and nothing, absolutely nothing, can steal that joy away. Nothing. This brother was a great example and a living testament to the fact that our circumstances don't define our joy. It's our connection with Jesus that lights up our hearts even in the darkest time of life. Of course, we enjoy the happiness and all the blessing we have in our lives from God. But we should remember, that the lasting joy comes from abiding in Jesus' love. As you remember from Ben's message last week, Jesus did not command his disciples to bear fruit, but to abide in him. That was his only commandment in the first part that we read last week, to abide in him. In the second part of this chapter, in verse 12 and 17, he commands his disciples two times to love each other. To love each other. The word love, which is agape in Greek, unconditional love, a pure love, has been repeated nine times in the reading that we had today. Nine times, agape, love. But how do we do that? Here, Jesus gives a powerful commandment, an example of love. He says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." This verse beautifully aligns with our united prayer nights and our prayer points in those nights when we get together here on Mondays. Our recent worship and prayer nights we had here at Deep Creek with other churches in Manningham City are centered around showing Jesus' love to others and our neighbors in Manningham. When we gather to pray and worship on Mondays with the intention of showing Jesus' love to our neighbors, we are essentially putting this commandment into action. The English language class that we had here at Deep Creek is motivated by a desire to show love and kindness to our Persian people here. John writes in 1 John, "Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." My brothers and sisters, our God is the source, is the ultimate source of love. And when we're loving each other, it's a sign that we've got this beautiful connection with him, a beautiful connection with Jesus as the true vine. Well, Jesus takes a step further in verse 14 to 17, saying, you are my friends if you do what I command. This is more than just being followers. This is more than just being servants. This is more than just being slaves. He calls us his friends, not servants. It's about building a deep personal relationship with Jesus. He chose us to be his friend. And in this friendship, he shares his plans and purpose with us. Imagine a time when someone really cares about you. Someone really listens to you without judgment or interruption. That's a glimpse of the kind of listening, kind of showing love and understanding love that Jesus is talking about. He says, "I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus doesn't hold back. He doesn't hold back. He shares his heart with us. And we can do the same for others. In other words, we have not chosen one another, but Jesus has chosen us for one another to share his love. Think about someone or a friend who gives you with a joyful heart, not out of obligation, but because they genuinely care. They genuinely care about you. That's the kind of giver Jesus is calling us to be. That's the kind of giver that Jesus is calling Deep Creek to be. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last forever." Our acts of love can have a lasting impact on the world around us. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus wants us to bear fruit that lasts. This doesn't mean we need to be perfect. This doesn't mean that we need to do everything. This doesn't mean that we need to help everybody. It means our lives should produce constant love, joy, peace, and patience. All those good things that come from being connected to the true vine, to Jesus. Just like a healthy vineyard yields abundant fruit, our lives can be a testimony of God's life. A testimony of God's love. Well, for many of us, including myself, might be easy or easier to show love to our friends, to our family, the ones who are easy to get along with. But the real challenge, let me tell you, the real challenge is loving those who might not exactly be our biggest fan. It's like a whole different story. It's a tough story. Earlier in the gospel, Jesus says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." Jesus is saying, hey, when it comes to love, don't just stick with the easy stuff. Don't just stick with the easy stuff. Love your enemies too. That's a big ask, isn't it? That's a big ask. It's not about being best buddies or having tea parties at Cherry Hill Tavern. I finally learned that name after a couple of mistakes, but and I'm happy that Cheryl was not present on that day. But anyway, okay. It's not having tea party with them. It's just about showing them a different kind of love. A love that goes beyond the surface. It's not like saying, it's like saying this or thinking like that, that you might not be on my team, but I'm still gonna treat you with respect and kindness. And you know what's amazing? This kind of love can totally disarm all the anger or hate that might the other party have. It's like showing someone kindness when they're expecting the opposite. But let's be real. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. It's not about pretending to like them. It's not about pretending to love those who don't love us or who hate us. It's about a decision. It's about choosing to treat them with respect and humility, which is a totally game changer. It's like turning the table and showing them a different way to interact. This is exactly what God did to us, didn't he? While we were still sinners, while we were still ignoring him, while we were still in walking on our own ways. He did that. He showed love to his enemies, to those who don't like him, and he saved us. Throughout these past 2 weeks, during our short journey through John chapter 15, we've learned that Jesus compares our relationship with him to branches. The branches connected to Jesus. The branches connected to the true vine. Just like branches can't bear fruit without being connected to the vine, we cannot truly love or being loved without staying connected to Jesus, without abiding in his love. It's like we are plugged into the ultimate source of love, which enables us to show Jesus' love to our neighbors. As we come to the end of our show series, let's take a moment to reflect on the cross. Let's take a moment to think about what God did on the cross, where God showed us his amazing love through his son Jesus to us. This divine love, this unfailing love, empowers us to love beyond the boundaries of our comfort zone. To love our friends as well as our enemies. It's not a love that's limited to mere emotion. It's a love that involves action. A love that breaks down barriers and builds bridges of understanding, of unity. Let us remember that the message of John 15 is not just a sentiment. It's a transformative call for you and I. It's a transformative call to action. It's a call to live out our faith through love, a love that's deeply rooted in Christ and branches out to touch every single aspect of our lives. Dear brothers and sisters, just as Christ chose us, let us choose love, and in that choice, find joy, purpose, and a reflection of his divine light shining through us. And by doing that, we definitely can abide in Jesus' love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the incredible love you've shown us through Jesus. Father, help us to remain in your love, to remain in Jesus' love, and to share that love with the world around us. Father, may our lives be a reflection of the love that comes from staying connected to your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.